أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يبشركم ربكم برحمة منه ورضوان وجنات لكم فيها نعيم مقيم. We were discussing this verse last week, verse number 21. And we talked about Rahmah, which is given to them by their Lord, the good news of this Rahmah, which is given to them by their Lord. And then we have Rizwan, which is of course different from that Rahmah. Now, in Majmu'ul Bayan, al-Shaykh al-Tabrasi, he says, the Lord gives them the good news of His Rahmah in this world and Rizwan in the other world. Now, Rizwan is of course pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah being pleased by someone. This is Rizwanullah. And we know that in this world, Allah could be pleased with people. However, when we refer to the Quran, we see that the word Rizwan is usually used for Akhirah. When people go into Jannah, they have Jannah and they have Rizwan. In verse number 72 of Surah Tawbah, this Rizwan is mentioned again. It says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنَ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. So Allah has promised the faithful men and women gardens with streams running in them to remain in them forever, and good dwellings in the gardens of Eden. So there are jannat and then there are dwellings in the garden of Eden, which is probably different from that previous garden mentioned. And then it says, and Allah's pleasure is of course greater than all these, greater than Jannah, greater than these masakin, which are in Jannat. And this Rizwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah is greater. Greater not in the sense that in that world, as we do in this world, we despise the material thing and we say we have to seek the pleasure of Allah or we have to seek the nearness of Allah. Because in Jannah everything is nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the pleasures that people use and they are given, it is nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Rizwan is a type of reward, which of course is a spiritual reward rather than a material reward in Jannah. And the pleasure of this Rizwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to people is much, much greater than the pleasure of all those jannat and masakin tayyibah, the good dwellings which are given to them in those, the palaces, the description of which you have heard in ahadith. From all those things, this Rizwan is of course greater. Also, in Surah Ali Imran, we have the mention of this Rizwan, which Allah talks about Jannat Adnan, Tajri min Tahta al Anhar, wa Azwajum Mutahharatun, and pure-hearted, probably spouses for the people who go into Jannah, wa Rizwanum min Allah, and of course there is this Rizwan as well, which is here, it is mentioned, it is greater. So, Rizwan is something which we can only feel when we go to Jannah. Because you see, our feelings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are different. If, for example, in your heart you feel that Allah pays attention to you, you are important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives you some sort of feeling and pleasure. If you think about the bounties and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given you, you have another type of feeling in your heart. This Rizwan, of course, we have the whatever we do is actually to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rizwan of Allah, as it is said in the Quran, وَاتَّبَعُوا رَزْوَانَ اللَّهِ, they follow things which would lead to Rizwan, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But apparently there is a feeling in Jannah which mu'minun have with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is more pleasurable than any other pleasure they have in Jannah, and this is given to them there. So not only they have the rest and comfort in their living, in their physical living, whatever type of physics they have there, they have rest and comfort in their heart as well, thinking all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, is confirming whatever they do, is pleased with whatever they do. This is something like what is mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Qamar. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Muttaqeen, of course, are in gardens and rivers. فِي مَقْعَدِ صَدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. They sit in a place where whatever they do, Allah confirms it. Allah approves of it. In fact, whatever they do is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do. Whatever they wish is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes them to do. And this would give them the rizwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then apart from this rizwan here, of, as I said, three things are mentioned here. يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ. رَحْمَة وَرِضْوَان وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. And also gardens in which there is everlasting bliss for them in it. Now, which one of these three is more important, Rahma or Rizwan or Jannat? Now, the way it is mentioned here, that Allah gives them the good tidings of His Rahma, and then Rizwan, and then Jannat, we can either say it goes from less important to more important. So you could say Rahma is less important than Rizwan, and Rizwan is less important than Jannah. However, in other verses we had that Rizwan is greater than Jannah. In Surah Tawbah we had وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The Rizwan that they receive there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger than Jannah itself, is more important. So we might say Jannah is less important than Rizwan. Of course, without going to Jannah you could not have Rizwan. You could not say that I want Rizwan but I don't want Jannah. We hear usually in mystical literature, we have this type of attitude that they say, we don't want garden, we don't want paradise, we only want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His pleasure, we seek His pleasure. But the point is, unless you are let into Jannah, you are not going to have all these things. It is only in Jannah that these things are acquired. So, although Rizwan is more important than Jannah, but Rizwan is only found in Jannah, it's not anywhere else. So, Rizwan is greater than Jannah, and this Rahmah, the way we of course explained it last week, is the prerequisite to receive that Rizwan. It is not possible that you receive that Rizwan unless in this world you could attain, you could obtain the Rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that special mercy. In a mystical book I saw a very, very nice explanation of this special Rahmah. Well, we talk a lot about this concept that when we talk about Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have two types of Rahmah. We have Rahmah which is shown by the name Ar-Rahman, which is general to everyone, and Rahmah which is shown by the name Ar-Rahim, which is special for Mu'mineen. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is Rahim to the Mu'mineen, of course. Now, in that book it was written that Rahmah which denotes or comes from the name Rahman is the mercy which gives existence to everything. And Rahma, which comes from the name Rahim, is the mercy which gives perfection to everything. So there are two things. Allah, first of all, gives existence to everything, and that goes for every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in terms of human beings, for mu'min, for kafir, for everyone. And then Allah wants to give perfection as well. It's not only giving existence. It's giving existence and guiding towards perfection. That guiding towards perfection comes from the name Rahim. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, He creates, gives existence in the best form, in the best balanced way He gives existence to everything, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. And then قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, He has actually measured a perfection for everything and has guided everything towards that perfection. Now, when you come to human world, of course, human perfection is obtained only through human will. And because Allah has given human beings free will and has given them love, and that love is there in the heart only to actually connect human beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is only through this love and this free chosen path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the perfection for human beings could be obtained. Now, if anyone is given this love through whatever, of course, they do, if they are muhsin and Allah chooses them to give them that drive to go towards Him, then in fact He has entered them into His rahmah, into His mercy. This mercy which gives perfection, not the mercy of giving existence, the mercy of giving perfection, Allah has entered them into the realm of His rahmah. Now, someone once asked me in one of the lessons we had in mysticism, someone asked me why mystics take all these pains to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to find Him anyhow. I mean, we are on the day of judgment, after we die, we are going to find Him. And in fact, there is this concept that the way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be taken in two ways. One is the compulsory way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the way that all human beings go through. We come to this world, then we die, we wake up, we see a measure of the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we die again, we are resurrected, we see another death of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we go through, and if we are mu'min, and if we follow the prophets, peace be on them, through their shafa'ah, of course, we attain at the end the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go to paradise, we attain the Rizwan, and all these things. So, why should one bother to leave the ordinary life of comfort and rest, family and all these things, well, lawful pleasures, why should one want to leave all these and rush and hurry to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, while we are going to find Him anyhow? Why is this? Well, the answer is, there's no time. There's no point whatsoever to do this. For those who don't have that love and burning affection for it. And that love and burning affection only comes when Allah chooses someone and wants him to rush towards Him. Everyone would go to Him. But as-sabiqun, those who are foremost, who are ahead of others in this world, they are ahead of others in the other world. But not everyone would become from Salah. Now, if, for example, a child might ask you, what's the point of marriage? Why people get married? And then all these troubles, children, family, having to provide for them, why? Why people marry? Are they mad? Now, you cannot explain it for them. It's not possible unless they find out themselves that why people get married. You cannot explain it for them. Now, you can... Someone who has this drive and love in his heart, he never can explain for others how does it feel? Why I am actually putting all these efforts and making my life so difficult to get that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, other people, of course, they don't want. Now, this drive, this love, this passion comes only when Allah makes someone to enter into His rahmah and wants to rush him towards the perfection. And this rahmah, of course, is only given to those who are muhsin. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. So this person, of course, this contrast here, سِقَايَةُ الْحَاجُ وَإِمَارَةُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, which is done by ordinary mu'minun, of course. Everyone wants to do it. All mu'minun, they want to go to ziyarah, for example. They want to give sadaqat, niyat, and all these things. This is fine. But you should not equal this to those who offer their lives, they everything for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not comparable with each other. These second ones are given the good news, يُبَشِّرُكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ. God gives them the good news that they will come into His rahmah, and that drive will be given to them, that love will be given to them, and they will actually try to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rizwan, of course, in the other world, وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. They, of course, remain there forever, because human beings, as soon as they are created forever. When your soul is created, then there is no end to it. It is, of course, forever. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. With Allah, indeed, is a great reward. Now, there is one concept I want to mention here with regards to reward. Especially in Shia theology and in many of the rawat, both in Sunni and Shia tradition, we have the idea that what you get on the Day of Judgment is actually your actions coming back to you. And it is the reward or punishment of what you do is with the action itself. The action that you do, it has a correspondence in the other world. And that correspondence is with you in this world, you do not see it. That corresponding concept of the action is with you, you do not see it. For example, when you tell a lie, it has a reality here. Of course, that reality you cannot really explain what it is, because it's just, when you tell a lie, it's just your vocal cords creating some sort of sound, and of course something which goes into your mind. However, our soul finds it very abhorrent. We despise it. It's not the very voice or the movement of vocal cords that we despise. It's the concept which we despise. Moving away from reality. This is in human fitrah. Moving away from reality is despicable for human beings. So this, of course, concept in the barzakh, in the other world, it has a corresponding reality. And on the Day of Judgment, it has a corresponding reality, and they come back to you. Well, they are with you. When we tell lies, they are with us here. We know what we have done in this world. We don't see the corresponding reality of it in the other world. And when we go to the other world, those corresponding realities are with us. And they say this is the reward and punishment. However, in the Quran, when we think about it deeper, we see that there are two things. There is the very action and the reality, corresponding reality of actions which are with us. And there is another thing, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. The punishment, I don't know. The punishment might be the action itself completely. However, the reward of Allah is the corresponding action that we do, which is with us, and something more, something on top of it. And this is why we are told that man jaa bil hasanat falahu ashru amsala. Whoever comes with good, with hasana, 10 times of it is for them. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا. And whoever comes with sayya, with evil, they will be given, their punishment will be exactly the same as that evil. It means Allah would not add to punishment. There is nothing that He would add to it. It's just your action, your evil which is attached to you. But with regards to thawab and reward, is different. The thawab is more than your action. In Surah Najm, we have أَلَّا تَذِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَلَّيْتَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. There is nothing for human being whatsoever they have done. Your actions are what you are. Your property, your wealth, whatever you have are your actions. أَلَّيْتَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And what they do, you will see it soon. In fact, that those corresponding realities of your actions, you are going to see. We don't see it now. Well, it is said in the Quran that those who eat of the property of the orphans, they are eating of fire in their stomachs. We don't see it now. This is the corresponding reality of the action that they do. When they go to the other world, they will see it. They will see that this is how actually what they were doing. Now, so سَعْيَ أَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Their actions are going to be seen. But there is something more to this. ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. Then there is a reward for of course the good deeds. Bad deeds, I don't know. According to the Quran, bad deeds are the punishment of the people, of the evildoers. There's nothing more to come. Because مَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةً فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا. It's only that سَيِّئَةً which is going to be the punishment of the person. However, the حَسَنَات, Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, as is mentioned here. So, it is not only the action that you are going to receive, your actions that you are going to receive. With Allah indeed is great reward as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. So this great reward is actually in addition to what you have done, in addition to the reality of the action that you have committed. Now, then it comes to a related concept. Now, here we were discussing that some people thought that giving water to Hajjaj and maintaining Masjid al-Haram would equal to going to Jihad and offering all what one has for the sake of Allah. Now here it says that you shouldn't think that you can put anything above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then you'll be truthful mu'min. It's not possible. If you are truthful mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything for you. So here it says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. O you who have faith, do not befriend your fathers and brothers if they prefer faithlessness to faith. Those of you who befriend them, it is they who are the wrongdoers. Of course, awliya, taking someone as wali, it's not just befriending. It's to become intimate with them. It's to reveal one's secret to them. This is the meaning of wali. And here in the footnotes, Mr. Gharai says that do not take your fathers and brothers for intimates, which is the better meaning of the verse, I think. In many places of the Quran, we have that mu'minun should not take kafirun as their intimate friends, which they reveal their secrets. Especially, of course, when there is a point of when there is a situation of war or something, as it was in the Mecca at that time, and at the time of the Prophet, many mu'minun and mushrikun were relatives. He said that you might meet your father, your brother, you might eat with each other, you might have good relationships, but you shouldn't take them as your intimate. It's not possible. If you are mu'min, they are kafir, you are two different things. Also, we have in another was لَا يَتَّخِذُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Mu'minun should never take kafirin as their intimate friend. It's not possible. So, of course, aba and ikhwan are mentioned here, brothers and fathers. In the following verse, we have husbands, children, and all these things in a different, of course, context. But here, Aba and Ikhwan are mentioned because they are the people who could very much influence a person. Children, especially if we have an opinionated person, children, wives, they could not have that authority that fathers and brothers could have, especially in a tribal society. So it says, your fathers, your brothers should not influence you if you are a mu'min. You should not take them as intimate friends. لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء. If they prefer faithlessness to faith, إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان. And we know that this was the situation at the time of the Prophet. Many, many people had this divide in their families, that some people had believed, had faith to the Prophet, some people were kuffar, and of course they were mixing, they were going, coming. It said that, of course, it doesn't matter if you want to go and come and socialize with each other. But you shouldn't think that you could actually divulge your secrets to them. And whoever befriends them, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They are wrongdoers. Of course, could a mu'min be zalim? Yes, a mu'min could be zalim. Because this says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, you who believe. And it means that we can do many things and Allah would regard us as zalim. Still we are mu'min. As I said, there are many sins that we do and we do not regard them to be sins. And this is why we all the time have to do istighfar to cover for those sins that we do not know that we are committing. Of course, this walaya between mu'min and kafir is explained in Surah Mumtahana, Surah number 660, in a very nice and detailed way, that what are the limits that you could socialize with your non-mu'min friends, be they your fathers, your brothers and others. Of course, you should not dump them completely, you should not cut relations, you should not be rude to them, and especially in case of parents, fathers are mentioned here. In case of fathers, we are told that if they call you to shirk, you should not follow them. But وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You have to, of course, socialize with them in this world in the best way. You have to be nice to them. Now, in Surah Mumtahina, Surah number 60, which starts with this verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Do not take my enemy and your enemy as your intimate friend. In fact, whoever takes a kafir as an intimate friend has taken an enemy of God as a friend. And of course, if someone takes an enemy of God as a friend, as it is mentioned in another surah very, very nicely, فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. Allah has got nothing to do with that. Well, if you take my enemy as your friend, why should I take you as my friend? And why should you claim that you are my friend? So this is how the surah starts. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ. You offer them your affection, your mawaddah. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And they do not respect whatever haq, the haq in which you believe. Now, in the verse number number 8 of this Surah Mumtahina, Allah explains what does He mean by not taking them as friends. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. Allah does not forbid you in regard to those who did not make war against you. So you can be friends with them, you can socialize with them. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ and did not expel you from your homes, as it was the case at the time of the Prophet. أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ that you deal with them with kindness and justice. Of course, you cannot take them as intimate friends, but you have to deal with them with kindness and justice. However, you should know that there is a limit. You cannot reveal all your secrets to them. They are not intimate friends. They are friends. You should be kind. You should be just as to everyone. However, Allah does not forbid you. And tabarruhum bar is to be kind to someone. Wa tuqsitu alayhi. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Indeed, Allah loves the just. إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين. Allah forbid you only in regards to those who made war against you on account of religion and not on account of anything else. So if, for example, there is a war between kafir and mu'min, not for religion but for, say, land, for property, then of course it's different. But those who fight you on account of religion and expel you from your homes and supported you other than your expulsion, Allah forbid you that you make friends with them. And tawallawhum. So it's tawallaw which is forbidden. Not to be kind. To be kind in every situation is good. To socialize in a humane way in all respects is good. But to do tawalla, you know, especially in Shia faith, one of the articles is tawalla and tabarra. You have to take those who follow the true guides, the A'imma alayhi salam, as your intimate friends. This is tawalla. As your intimates. And you have to not actually love in a way that you love your intimates. You not make friends with those who are away from these guides. This is tabarra. And this tawalla and tabarra, of course, comes from the Quran, which mu'minun should do tabarri in the way that they shouldn't take them as intimate friends, and do tawalli, making intimate friends with mu'minun and not with kafirun. So it is tawalli which is tawalla which is forbidden, not to do good, to be kind, to be just. And of course, this is a criterion for faith. So, whoever befriends with them, they are wrongdoers. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In another words, we have وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْهُمْ. Any one of you who do tawalla with them, who take them as intimate friends, they are regarded as them. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. If you think that you are the same as kuffar, then you are from them. Allah will regard you from them. However, in this verse, it doesn't say, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْهُمْ, because these are fathers and brothers. And of course, a person might say, of course I'm from them. Of course I'm from my father. So it says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. They are wrongdoers. If you do this, with regard to your fathers and brothers, let alone with regard to others, of course. And then it says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your spouses, your kinsfolk, the possessions that you have acquired, the business you fear may suffer, and the dwellings you are fond of are dearer to you than Allah and His apostle, then, and to waging jihad in His way, then wait until Allah issues His edict, and Allah does not guide the transgressing Lot. Now, in this verse, almost all those things which might deter a person from waging jihad and following the Prophet, especially when Prophet called people to jihad, all those deterring things are mentioned. Well, it's the family, of course, the family from which we have come from, fathers, brothers, and the family which we have produced, our children and our spouses, and the tribe, وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالُ مُقْتَرَفْتُمُهَا, the wealth that you have gathered together, you have acquired. This is another thing. We might think that we would lose it if we go to jihad. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and the business you fear may suffer, especially, for example, if there is a war between a kafir and a Muslim country, and then we do not support the Muslim country because we think if we do that, all our business would go into ruin. Then, of course, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَحَاكُنُ تَرْضَوْنَ, and dwelling places you have, of course, you are fond of. You have settled in some place and you do not want to go from there. You think that if I do this, then where should I go? I should migrate, or especially at that time people should have migrated from Mecca to Medina, from a very nice city to a city which was not as well off as Mecca, and not having anything there. All these things which are the deterrents from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are dearer to you than Allah and His apostle, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and to waging jihad in His way, then wait until Allah issues His edict. فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, then wait until God brings His edict. Now, what edict is this? With regards to actually all these things mentioned, it's a very difficult thing to explain. That's why many exegetes have mentioned actually different opinions about it. Now, it is reported from Mujahid ibn Jabr, who was a very famous exegete from Tabu'un. He said that this refers to the conquest of Mecca, that if all these things are dearer to you than Allah and His Apostle and Jihad, then wait until Allah will show you that you would go and conquer Mecca. Which makes the meaning very funny, because if all these things are dear to you, O Mu'minun, then wait until Allah gives the conquest of Mecca to you. In fact, Allah would give a reward to you, isn't it? If you are wrongdoers, then wait, Allah would give a reward to you. The other meaning which is mentioned is that wait until Allah would make your business flourish, which is like the ayah we have, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَغْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. We have in some reports mentioning that when Amirul Mu'mineen actually announced the Surah Al-Bara'ah, and that Mushrikun could not go to Hajj anymore, then the people of Mecca started to argue, to object, to criticize. If Mushrikun do not come to Hajj, then all our business would go corrupt. We wouldn't have any other business. Of course, you might imagine what type of income the people of Mecca had from this Hajj, as today we have from Hajj. And the very order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Mushrikun should not go to Hajj from this year meant that the number of Hujjaj would have been cut to half or to a third. And this was a great, of course, shock for the business of the people of Mecca. And therefore some of the exegetes say that when, of course, the verse was revealed, they criticized, and then Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ, they are najas, فَلَا يَغْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ, they should not come near Masjid al-Haram after this year. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً, and if you fear poverty, if you fear that your business would slow down. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah would soon give from His Father, from His grace. Give you from His grace. They say this verse has the same meaning as well. فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. If you fear that your business would go, would slow down, if you fear that the dwelling place that you have chosen would change, then wait until Allah brings His Amr, His Edict, and again it would give the same meaning as previous, isn't it? That Allah is going to reward you. If you love your father, your brothers, and whatever is mentioned, more than Prophet and Allah, then wait, Allah will reward you. Again, we come to a very silly type of meaning. So, what is the meaning of Amrullah hatta ya'tiya Allahu bi amrih? Inshallah, we'll explore next week, and also the very, very important event of Hunayn, which is, I think, one of the most important events and ghazawat of the time of the Prophet. Inshallah, we'll be with it next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi.
Referring back to the verse 23, we know that there's different types of kufr. So, what type of kufr is he talking about? The literal sense of disbelief, as in a disbeliever, or?
No, the one who do not believe in Islam. This is the most general meaning of the kufr. That Muslims should not take the kafirun as their awliya. And of course this refers to anyone who does not confess to the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
You know, during your lecture you said that some people are chosen to be taken into the Rahmah of Allah and other people they can't. Can you just expand on that? Because I don't can't see where that comes from.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, there is a verse in the Quran saying إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. This is special rahmah, of course, which is the rahmah in which Allah has made the prophets to enter into it, and the a'immah and siddiqeen. After a person completely submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course is a muhsin, is a good doer, then that rahmah would encompass them. Then Allah chooses them to come into this rahmah. And the sign of it, if Allah chooses someone, their point of desires change. There is a shift. You see, people might ask, what's the point of going into this path and sacrificing everything for the sake of Allah, while you could go to Jannah without it? I mean, doing just ordinary iman. Now, when they are chosen, then they would ask, what's the point of living like? In fact, they cannot justify how people live. They think that it should be the other way around. And this is al-hayat al-tayyiba, which is given to someone. That in fact, when people die, all of us know that when everyone dies, they awaken up. They become awake. They know that this world, what they were doing, was just in vain. Now, these people, before they die, they find out. And when they find out, then everything would become pointless for them, what other people do. And therefore, the origin of their desires would change. What they love is different from what people love. What they hate is different from what people hate. And this is the meaning of Allah choosing someone. In fact, putting this type of feeling and desire in their hearts. And this is the meaning of the verse in Surah Nah, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ أَمَلٍ من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Whoever does good, عمل صالحا, whether male or female, and they are mu'min, Allah would give them a new life. This new life, it is exactly like life. You see, when we are dead, we cannot move, we cannot understand, we cannot find out things. Now, we think that we are alive now, but there are many things in this world that we do not know. When Allah chooses someone, He gives them a second life. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا is equal the one who was dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, and we gave them life, and we put a light for them. It is exactly like a second life. And how it comes in the explanation of this verse, that مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرًا أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we give them a حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً. Amin al-Mu'min was asked, what is this hayat which they are given? He said, it is qana'ah, contentment. Now, contentment means that everything in this world will become trivial for you. You are content with the least that you have with regards to this world. However, your eyes are open to other things which are now more important.
Before we go to the repeat, I'm still not very clear from the verse where you say that Innama Mushrikun Najas, where from that it is interpreted that the Mushriks are not allowed to enter Masjid al Haram. But history says that during the time of our Imams, there were Mushriks who used to converse with Imams in Masjid al Haram. Is this the interpretation of not allowing Mushriks into Masjid al-Haram from a different opinion, or how is it based on?
Of course, this najasa here is not physical najasa, and I think most of the exegetes agree upon this, that this is different from the najasa that we are talking about, that we are used to know actually. The physical najasa, it is a spiritual najasa, spiritual filth that they are carrying with them, and that's shirk. So they say that from this verse you cannot deduce a jurisprudential edict that mushrikun are najas, so you cannot touch them with rutuba. Okay, so it's different, it's spiritual najasa. Now we can say, for that spiritual najasa, the mushrikun could not get near to Masjid al-Haram in whatever way, or it is actually having in mind the idea of mushrikun coming and performing Hajj. It means that they are not allowed to come and perform Hajj, and calling their idols, their asnam, while they are doing Hajj. It's not permissible from this day. And when, of course, they are not allowed to do Hajj, there was no point for them to come into Masjid al-Haram anymore. This is one way of putting it. The other way of putting it is that, no, absolutely, they cannot enter Masjid al-Haram at all. Of course, most of the jurists and exegetes have actually explained this verse in the second way, that they cannot absolutely enter Masjid al-Haram. And of course, those instances which you are mentioning could be explained in the way that although these people were mushrik in their hearts, but they did not confess it directly that we are not Muslimun. They were saying we are Muslims, but they were mushrik in their hearts. They had very, unfaithful ideas, but they did not confess that they were mushriks, because otherwise they would have been punished, especially in the environment of that day of Muslim societies. And usually what is mentioned in Rawayat is that they went and discussed with A'imma in Masjid al-Nabi rather than Masjid al-Haram. There might be one or two instances of them going to Masjid al-Haram, and that could be explained in the way that they did not confess that they were Muslims.
You were mentioning those people who were given good news. Now, in a previous lecture, you were talking about Imam Jabir Sadiq when the Mu'min are two kinds. The ones on the day they rise in the Qiyamah, they will be given the good news the first time. And then there are the others who will not know until the end. Are these those people, or are they even one step before because they're given the good news in this world? Which way are they?
Yeah, they are actually given the good news even in this world. يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْ The good news comes in the Quran actually, in this world. Actually the good news is the very verse that Allah is giving them the good news, that they are going to meet His Rahmah and His Rizwan. However, in other verses we have that there is a type of good news which comes to some mu'minun even when they are alive, and that in a way its quality is like the good news that they receive when they die. And the verse is Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Of course awliya Allah, they have no fear, no sadness. Alladhina amanu, those who believe, wa kanu yattaqun, and they were very fearful. In fact, they were very much guarding themselves. For these people, lahumul bushra fil hayat ad-dunya. They have bushra. Bushra, of course, is not just news. It's that feeling of Rizwan and other things that they feel. Lahumul bushra fil hayat ad-dunya wa fil akhirah. They have it both. Actually, the mystics say that these type of knowledge that Allah puts in the heart, the love that Allah puts in the heart of people, this is the bushra that comes to them, and many things would unveil for them. However, this is their explanation. Of course, not all people accept this. Some people say what they see in Barzakh is the bushra in Hayat al-Dunya, because Barzakh is a part of this Hayat al-Dunya, and whatever they see in Qiyamah is a bushra of the Qiyamah. However, generally, what the Exodus say, that the Basharas, the good news which are mentioned in the Quran, are the Bushra in Hayat al-Dunya, and of course they see the reality of it on the Day of Judgment.
Yes, that's
we have in traditions that all Rahmah is sort of bestowed upon us from Imam al-Asr. And is this talking about the special rahmah or the common rahmah? And is this referring to the special rahmah? Does that mean that we can only come under the special rahmah through him?
Of course, whatever comes from Allah comes through some means. I mean, whatever the angels do, for example, there are angels who bring that rahmah or that bring a bushra or put the love in the heart. Allah actually never mentions anything but Himself. That whatever is done in this world is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there are means. And those means, of course, would do things after permission is given to them. Now, permission is not a word which is given. It is actually the permission to act. For example, the fire is given the permission to burn. This is done after the permission of Allah. In fact, Allah, it means Allah has put this quality in there. And in Ayat al-Kursi, when we recite, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, who can do anything for anything else with him, of course, before Allah, in presence of Allah, who can do anything, who or what can do anything for anything else? This is the meaning of shafa'ah, doing something for someone else on behalf of something else or someone else, okay? Who can do it after he permits? Unless after he permits, okay? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. So it means that whatever works in this world, it doesn't work independently. It works on behalf of Allah. And on behalf means that Allah has put these qualities in them, and by this He has given permission. Now, with regards to Imam al-Asr or A'imma alayhi salam or the Prophet, peace be on him, we say that, of course, guidance comes through them. It's not directly that we receive the guidance. It all comes, even the guidance which goes into our heart, comes through their heart to us. Okay? Not even the Quran and what we read, what we understand. Even those concepts which directly are created in our heart, it comes to them. However, of course, Allah does not see it. He says it comes from me, but of course we have to be grateful and appreciate these means as well, especially when they are human means, because human beings have a relationship of appreciation to each other. You never thank Mikhail for the rest that you receive, isn't it? You never say, oh Mikhail, I thank you because the rest of Allah comes through you, because they are angels and they are actually working on behalf of Allah. But you thank the Prophet, okay? You thank the Prophet for the guidance that he has brought for us by saying salawat and Allah rizat in Allah wa malakatahu yusalluna ala nabi. In fact, we are told that you have to be thankful and appreciate. Now, of course, at every time there is one person and one person only, which is Khalifatullah. Who is Khalifatullah? And Khalifa means that he does something on behalf of God. And that something is guiding people. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرَنَا. There were a'imma among Banu Israel who guided, not in apparent way, but in the alamul amr, bi'amrana, as some edges explain it. So yes, that special rahmah, whatever we receive, is from the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which at this time is Imam al-Asr alayhi salam. And that's the meaning of you receive the benefits of him, even if he's not present, like you receive the benefits of sun when it goes under the cloud. In fact, the benefits of sun are equal when there is cloud or not cloud. It's only the very apparent sense of it which makes difference for us. Otherwise, all the benefits are the same and they are there. In terms of other aspects, the general rahmah received by that Khalifa, of course this is very controversial. And we have some people that say this Khalifa actually works on behalf of Allah in all respects. Of course, he is servant of Allah, he is a means. All these should be taken into consideration. However, they say that yes, everything comes through them. But this is, of course, a very minority view. Not everyone believes in such an aspect that everything, that even the greater rahmah, the general rahmah of Allah comes through them. Mostly they think that it is only the special rahmah, the guidance which comes through them. And it's up to, of course, us and the reasons and the arguments provided to decide whether we believe in the general rahmah coming through them or not.
Sisters?
Amen.